Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm your host, Dave Custy, for the Local Issues Forum. The guest today is Barbara Levin, the Director of Client Services at Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland. Prior to coming to Meals on Wheels, she held senior-level positions in nonprofits serving refugees, blind adults, inner-city youth, and special education students. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in education. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Barbara.
Thank you so very much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little short bio here.
I'm Director of Client Services at Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland. I've been there for 5 years now. I enjoy my job immensely. Prior to being at Meals on Wheels, I held senior-level positions at nonprofits, largely in Philadelphia, serving refugees and blind adults, inner-city youth, and special ed kids. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in education.
Well, so let's go back to that. You're from Philadelphia, right?
I am.
Okay. And how did you get interested in all this from your schooling and such? Was it something you just fell into, or you've always been interested?
Well, I got to tell you, honestly, it was more of a fall into. I was offered a position as the lead job developer at a refugee organization. I needed a job at the time. And I took it, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I loved the feeling that you could make a difference in people's lives. I loved the creativity of being able to come up with new programs that no one's thought of before. I love being part of other people's lives, seeing other cultures. It was with refugees. It was just a great match.
So how long did you do that?
Well, I was lead job developer there for 3 years. Then I was promoted to be director of community development programs. And then I was offered the position of executive director at Nationality Service Center, which was a similar organization, and I moved over there. And actually, I wound up coming back to CMEC later on. So between all of the refugee organizations, I guess I served the refugee community for about 7 years. I did some consulting. I was manager of specialized services for Associated Services for the Blind for a few years. And then I guess what happened is I taught 1 year culinary studies to special ed kids, to special ed children who were 14 to 21 years old in the Philadelphia region. And that sort of led me to Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland.
Why did you come to Maryland?
I really did come here for Meals on Wheels.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was looking for a position that melded all the things I did, and this was really excellent. One thing about all the jobs I've had is they're all vulnerable folks who are in very, very hard-to-reach populations. Each of them have some communication barriers that really make it difficult to serve them. Whether you're talking about refugees who don't speak English and have cultural barriers, or you're talking about blind folks who can't read the printed word, or in this case, you're talking about folks who basically aren't able to leave their homes. They're wonderful folks who just can't access services through the normal channels.
So how did you actually, though, find out about Meals on Wheels?
I believe it was published in an ad. That's exactly what they tell you not to do. They tell you to go networking and all. I believe I saw it on an ad.
And you saw it in an ad and said, hey, this might be for me.
That's what I did.
Natural progression of your career then.
Yeah, it really was. And I have loved it.
You got here 2010. Then what?
We settled in, my husband and I, in a nice little apartment that we didn't plan to stay in, but we wound up staying because we liked it so much.
What part of Baltimore?
Oh, Middle River.
Oh, so nice.
It is very pretty. We're in an apartment that's right sort of on the water, and we like it a lot.
That's great.
So it's me, my husband, and my dog. We'll put a shout-out to the dog.
And you're based here on North Haven Street, right?
I am, indeed.
So you're pretty well-located.
I am well-located.
You don't have to go all the way up to the county or back or whatever.
Well, that's sort of true, although I actually oversee a region that goes all the way from the Pennsylvania line down.
I mean, just getting back and forth from work.
Yeah, although I do have to visit the other county offices at times.
Sure.
So I put some mileage on the car.
So when you first got there at Meals on Wheels, what was the job?
Well, I was overseeing, actually it has expanded since then. I was overseeing largely the regional offices at that point. But at this point, I oversee all the regional offices and the distribution sites. So I have, I guess, about 50 people that work for me.
When you say oversee, just give me some bullet points.
Some of the things we do at Meals on Wheels is the obvious. We provide meals for seniors and disabled adults. We also provide a lot of other services. We provide case management. We have pet food deliveries. We have a peer-to-peer.
Really? Pet food deliveries too?
We do indeed.
Wow, you're branching out. It's great.
Well, here's the thing. One day, one of our volunteers was delivering a meal. And she handed the person, we usually give a hot meal and a cold meal. And the mm-hmm. person took the cold meal and ate it and took the hot meal and put it down on the floor to feed the dog. Now, I love my dog, right. so I understand so. This, okay? But it's not enough food right. to cover your needs if you're only eating half. And at that point, we started looking into pet food. And it is really a neat thing. We have an older veteran that we serve who has two little dogs who are just absolutely his whole world. And they were skipping meals. Mm-hmm. He was skipping meals because he was giving the food to the dogs, and the dogs weren't getting enough. We deliver food. We want people to have a quality of life. We don't want them to be just barely making it. We want them to really have a reason to get up in the morning. If you are homebound and you're not getting out very often and not very many people are visiting you, we most certainly want you to be able to keep your pet.
Right. That's terrific. I love that idea.
So if you don't mind, I think what I'm going to do, if I could go backwards and just kind of give a quick overview of Meals on Wheels, because that might be more what you...
Yeah, I think so. That's a, yeah,
that actually,
that's
to me, seems like more logical. Okay, let me just start at Meals on Wheels.
I like to skip around.
You can skip around all you like, but at least... And I put myself...
We need to have
notes.
That basic foundation of what is Meals on Wheels. Oh, so Barbara, tell us, what is Meals on Wheels?
So, first of all, a lot of people think Meals on Wheels is kind of like a franchise. We're not. Every Meals on Wheels is an individual organization that has its own rules. Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland is actually the second or third largest in the country, depending on the day of the week. We serve 1,500 people every single day. We provide meals for elderly and disabled folks and folks who are getting over illnesses and hospitalizations. And we provide lots and lots of other services. Our goal is that people should be able to age at home. If you ask folks, there are very, very few people who will say, when I get old, I want to move into a nursing home. I want to move out of my house and be away from my friends. They do not say that. And we make it possible for them to stay home. We have clients, unfortunately today, we had a client who passed away. Our driver actually was the one that realized that. But I actually consider that a success because that person got to spend their very, very last minute in their home, and that was their final wish. So it's a wonderful thing being able to have people stay at home. And not only do the people who we allow to stay at home appreciate it, but the rest of us should too, the rest of us who are taxpayers, because it costs us a fortune to put people into nursing homes that don't want to be there. Actually, I saw a study recently that said in Maryland the average cost of a nursing home for 1 year is $95,000. It's almost $41,000 for an assisted living. On the other hand, it costs about $15 a day for us to provide a complete lunch and dinner that includes absolutely everything that's designed by a dietitian, and to also make all sorts of other services available, case management and pet food deliveries, companions and volunteer shoppers, and safety checks. There was a Brown study recently that showed that for states that spend more money on Meals on Wheels, they drastically reduce the amount of money they have to spend on nursing homes. And that's kind of an important thing.
Barbara, people that know a little bit about Meals on Wheels think that it's for elderly clients and all. Is that the restrictions?
You know, actually, we will serve anyone of any age and any income who needs our meals. 90% of our clients, in fact, are over 60, but we will serve young people, too. The other thing people don't realize is we'll do short-term service. People think of us as, you know, the last few years that you're living at home. But in fact, if you have hip surgery or you break your arm or you're recovering from an illness, we will serve you. It can be 2 weeks, it can be 6 weeks, but we're there to serve.
And it's very helpful, too, for people that kind of fall through the cracks.
It really is. The majority of our folks are, in fact, low income. But even folks who are wealthier, if no one's visiting you, you really need us.
Right.
When I first came to Meals on Wheels, I read an article about a couple in Florida who had an elevator inside their house. So I assumed they were doing pretty well. Unfortunately, they died in that elevator. No one checked on them. They were stuck there for 4 days before someone found them. It's really important to have someone checking on folks. So, yeah, we will serve anyone. And by the way, most states, that's not the case. Because Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland does so much fundraising, we're able to serve people who aren't covered by the Older Americans Act. One time we had a young mother who was, I believe, 22, who was put on total bed rest by her doctor and had no family in state. She had no way of eating. we will serve her. But yes, the majority of our folks are older folks who maybe have congestive heart failure and it's hard for them to stand so long. Maybe they're they have arthritis. Maybe they have vision loss. And it might be well to point out that they don't have to not be eating at all. If you're eating poorly, your health is compromised. We have one person right now who told us before we started serving, she was rotating cereal and cans of soup, and that's all she was eating. That's not healthy. So if they're reaching the point where they're going to eat poorly because they just can't manage, we're there to help.
So don't just assume that don't qualify because you're not elderly and, like you say, a shut-in restaurant.
I think that you should always call us. And I think that
when in doubt, why not, right?
Right. And I think you should reach out, you know, for your parents and your neighbors. You can always ask questions. A lot of people assume that their neighbors already know about us. I find that everybody thinks we're for someone who's older and someone who's sicker, no matter how what their situation is. They assume we're for someone else. So please reach out to us and ask.
And it's almost kind of like maybe 3 degrees of separation, because you'll find somebody that will know somebody about something about you.
You know something? This is the first job I've ever had where every time I mention where I work, somebody says, oh, and then they tell me a story about someone who either volunteered for us or someone who received our food. It's really pretty amazing.
Wonderful. How do you become a client?
Basically, you can go on our website and you can fill out an application, or you can call us on the phone. It's actually very easy. You basically tell us that you really, really need our food. The qualifications for getting our food in general are you're homebound and unable to prepare your own meals. Now, I qualify that by saying homebound does not mean that you're tethered to the bed. If you're able to get out to your daughter-in-law's place for Thanksgiving dinner because they go pick you up, you can still have our meals.
Sure.
But if you've reached the point where you're really going to be thinking seriously about a nursing home, if somebody isn't bringing you food, we're there to bring you food. We'll actually also do folks who are, say, going through chemotherapy and just don't have the energy to cook. But our goal really is to reach people where they need to be. We've had lots of interesting folks on service. For instance, we have right now a young man who lost use of his legs from a gunshot wound. He would be spending the rest of his life in a nursing home. That's a long life. He's 25 years old right now. We also have a lot of older clients who want to spend their lives at home, too. We have one client right now who's 107 years old. She lives all by herself in an apartment in a senior housing complex. She's out in Westminster.
Good for her.
And she would not have that option if we weren't bringing food every day.
How do people that, let's say, they don't have a computer or, you know, on the same situation you just described, how do they find out about you in different ways in terms of that?
Well, I got to tell you, the biggest way is just word of mouth. And I really do try to get the word out. A lot of times pastors and rabbis and other faith community leaders will tell their congregation about us. Doctors, nurses tell them. Neighbors. Neighbors are really a really big thing. And an awful lot of people call us on their own because they see their neighbor down the street with the Meals on Wheels van. We've divided the area into 6 regions because we want to make sure we give everybody care. And then we have sites that go to each region. So we make the food centrally. We send it out to our sites, and then volunteers meet at the sites and bring it out to the people that they serve. We also have a site that serves kosher food, but we try to make sure that everyone gets the food they need.
Food is cooked at your facility?
Our regular meals are cooked at our facility. The kosher meals are at a separate facility, and they are moved by our vans to sites where they are delivered in hot bags and coolers. And our volunteers pick up the prepared meals. They have a list of clients that they serve on a regular basis, so they get to know them. If you are serving, you know, Sally Smith, you get to serve Sally Smith each week. So you get to know her and you get to care about her. But it is our food. And each meal is, you know, especially prepared. So there's, for instance, texture modified meals for the person who can't chew. And pretty much that's how we do.
So you take a lot into account then.
We really do.
Is that part of the application process, too, where they list things like that?
We take a lot of information, actually, at the application process. We want to know about food you can eat, but we also want to know about health problems. One of the biggest things that our volunteers do that people don't ever think about is just being eyes and ears on the ground. When a volunteer knocks on the door, they wind up reporting back to us, and that's why we want the information.
So they're like, little detectives, too, in terms of keeping their eyes open and seeing little bits and pieces of things.
We think of them more like family.
Right.
But yes, we've actually saved many, many, many lives because of that. For instance, we have a rule that if a person doesn't answer the door, we track down their emergency contacts. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had a gentleman who was oxygen dependent who fell in the shower. He didn't answer his door. It was 48 hours after he'd fallen. We contacted medical personnel. We were told he would not have lived another day. So that's a really big deal. We had another woman who fell in the bathroom and got wedged between her toilet and the wall. And actually, somehow she broke the water source while she was going down, and the ceiling was collapsing by the time. Those people would not have lived.
Right.
Not to mention the people who we've gone there and a volunteer has said they just don't look well, and we've called family up. And we had one person who turned out they were in the middle of having a heart attack.
Jeez.
And then the other thing we get a lot is a volunteer will call us and say there's some other problem. They'll say the person's living without electricity or heat, and we'll go follow it up. We probably make well over 1,000 referrals a year.
Mm.
We have case managers that go out. We had a gentleman very, very recently, a Korean War era vet who had not been out of his house in 4 years because while he had a electric wheelchair to use, he didn't have a ramp to get out of the house with.
Mm.
So because we were able to arrange that ramp, he's now out and about. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories of people who we were delivering meals whose lives are made better because we were able to intervene.
Right. I was just going to say that you don't only provide meals, but you enhance quality of life, too.
It's a very big deal for us. We care very deeply about the people we serve. We want to serve them well, and we want to make sure that they live long, healthy, happy lives.
Right.
And the happy is a big deal because sometimes folks get to the point where we start thinking what we need to do is provide food and medical care, and we forget that people need joy in their lives right to the end.
Just someone to talk to.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
And that's another issue why you bring it up. 18% of our clients tell us that the person who delivers their meals is the only person they see all day, every day.
Right.
It's kind of us and the TV set. So when someone volunteers for us and delivers that meal, they talk to them a little bit. And they're the reason for getting up. We had one elderly gentleman who used to get dressed up every day for the Meals on Wheels delivery.
That's great.
Yeah, because that was his social thing.
Big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you make an application, what's the turnaround time?
If we get all the information, we can have you on service generally within about 3 days. But that generally brings up the point that kind of started us on this interview, which is, there are places I can't get you on in 3 days. I might not be able to get you on in a whole lot longer than that. And that's because we don't have enough volunteers everywhere. There are 23 routes now, mostly in West Baltimore, but other places too, actually Hartford, where I am so short of volunteers that I've waitlisted people. And it could be a very long time. And that's really, really depressing. I hate to have somebody call me up and say, I really need that food. And I have to say, I just don't have anyone who can deliver it right now.
You're looking for drivers. How does that happen?
And by the way, it's not just drivers. We need other volunteers, too. We have volunteer shoppers, for instance. Most of our drivers, and we pair them usually. So it's a driver and a visitor. They generally deliver 1 day a week or 1 day a month, Monday through Friday between 11 and 1 o'clock. We train them. We do a background check. We do screen everyone for criminal backgrounds. And once they're trained, they'll be delivering food. But we do actually use other volunteers. We have volunteer shoppers who can work at night or on weekends. We don't deliver toilet paper, and we don't deliver the person's favorite candy bar, and that's a big deal. So we have people do that. We have volunteer companions and volunteers that do other things too.
If you wanted to be a volunteer, what's the turnaround time for that?
If you had everything to us, you probably would hear back in a few days, but you're probably looking at a couple of weeks before you really hit the ground.
Get on there. Yeah.
Just because you're going to go through our training and you're going to be assigned a site. We try to put you in an area that's convenient. You might be near your home. You might be near your work. And I should say we have some really interesting volunteers, though. I'm kind of going a little bit
go ahead.
Off. We have volunteers that come from a number of different, I don't want to say groups, categories. We have a lot of individuals, a lot of them, but we have churches that, like prayer groups, that will sort of own a route, and that's how they serve. We have some businesses that use us as team-building activities. The Social Security Administration, for instance, actually owns 4 routes. Their folks rotate, and they each serve once every 6 weeks. But between all of them, they cover that route. We have some mothers who deliver with their children. It's a great way of conveying values to children. Mm-hmm. We have some folks who get together with their friends every week and have lunch afterwards. It's a really nice way to serve.
I was just thinking, college students.
College students,
even if it is or not part of a course or what have you, but it's kind of like a service, and because college students do have some time too, mm-hmm. and so that would be something that you know. Well, and I can think universally that even if you come in with a little trepidation, not knowing what to expect, that you come out thinking this is terrific. You know, this is another person who you know I get to talk to who's had life experiences, especially in college students that I've not had.
I can pretty well guarantee you that if you deliver with us, you'll feel better about life afterwards. You'll say, oh, I am so grateful for what I have and what wonderful people. But you're right. It's wonderful for community service, and high school kids have community service hours, too, that they can do. But we do like people who will stay with us a long time.
Right.
The largest group of volunteers we have actually are young retirees. Mm-hmm. You retire, you still want to give back something, you still want to be active. We have a huge, huge, huge number of early retirees. I could really use some younger people who wanted to volunteer too, though. One of our challenges is in bad weather, we still need to deliver. And some of our older volunteers, when it's icy out, it's kind of risky.
Right.
So I would love to have some younger people, maybe some folks with four-wheel drives who said, you know, when the weather's really, really bad or when there's an emergency, I'll step in and I'll deliver.
Right. So you need all sorts of people.
Pretty much.
Be terrific. And you need them yesterday. So
yeah, yesterday would be really good. I'll take tomorrow, but yesterday mm-hmm. would be better.
Is there anything you want to add in terms of the drivers right now?
I don't think so, just that it's a really great way of serving our community, and you'll enjoy it.
So, Barbara, how do you see Meals and Wheels and yourself in 3 to 5 years?
Well, I'll tell you, I would really like to see us expand the number of clients that we're able to serve. And to do that, we need to have enough volunteers to serve folks in every neighborhood without having to waitlist folks. We need funds to be able to serve them. And actually, I would really love to have a group of Rough Riders, I call them, who would be willing to step in when the weather is really bad or there's a problem so that we could still serve folks in ice and snow.
I love this term, Rough Riders.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you didn't ask about it, but I thought I'd comment since you were asking before. I've been asked a lot about the recent challenges that Baltimore has faced in mm-hmm. West Baltimore and, you know, what's going on. Meals on Wheels was actually one of the very first on the ground after the riots because our folks are really, really dependent on us.
Sure.
So we wound up closing down a couple of the sites that were closest to there and serving out of our kitchen and sending staff. I had staff that were climbing 6 flights of stairs because there was no electricity mm-hmm. in the buildings, carrying 40 meals each because we plan ahead. We mm-hmm. just can't take a risk somebody won't get to eat. So we made food, we froze it, and we brought large quantities of food to our clients ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I guess I wanted people to know about West Philly and West Baltimore. And yes, you can see where I'm from here. You can see where I'm from. What I wanted them to know about the whole situation was Baltimore's a really great place, and if we all work together, we can make things better. And this is a way to, with feet on the ground, really do something to heal our community. People really, really appreciate receiving the food, and the people in the neighborhoods really appreciate seeing us there.
Right.
They see us. They know life is getting back to normal. So I'd love to have people just join us.
I can't think of anything that has more of a direct impact
mm-hmm.
than to help people eat and to give them company, too. You know?
I certainly agree.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Like I say, this is an introductory course, and mm-hmm. I hope that you come back and update us, and then we'll keep pitching to get drivers and you know, whatever else you need. And also, you can talk about the contacts and to donate and all.
I absolutely would like to do that. We promise that if you donate to us, we will spend your money well. We guarantee it'll stay in the community. It will be used to feed your neighbors and to keep them at home. I guess one thing I wanted to add at the end was we all have favorite people from our youth. Maybe you have a third grade teacher who you just, you know, really thought the world of and she turned your life around. Well, right now that third grade teacher has arthritis, is living at home and can't get out. If you want to do something sort of to pay back that person that you knew earlier, this is a great way. We have people who were teachers and policemen, and they were the clerk at the store that you shopped at all the time. These are people you really cared about. I mean, I want to see them fed.
Right. It's a win-win situation.
It really is.
It makes you feel better, and it makes you feel you know, that you're helping people, and it's and you are helping people. And like you mm-hmm. said, food is such a basic thing, but also talking to people. You'll learn something, too.
Yeah. So if I can make one request of all your listeners,
sure.
I would like to say, please tell your neighbors about us. Make sure that older person or that person who's recovering from surgery, maybe who had a hip replacement, knows about us. Consider volunteering yourself and with your friends, and consider donating to us. You'll really make a difference.
Very good. So now, Barbara, how about some contact info?
If you want to reach us, there's two basic ways you can do it. You can go to our website, which is www.mowcm.org, or you can reach us at 410-558-0827.
Great. Thank you very much. This has been terrific. And like I say, we're going to continue this, and hopefully we can get you some more people
to
volunteer and all. And to donate, you can do the same thing in terms of contact and
Absolutely.
All and talk to you or whoever wants answers mm-hmm. the phone, because I'm sure
That's
they'll take
true.
It too.
I'm sure they will take it, and I'm sure we'll direct you to the correct person.
Great. We've been talking to Barbara Levin, the Director of Client Services at Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland. Thank you for coming on, Barbara.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll talk to you soon. This is Dave Custy, and this is Baltimore Internet Radio.